battle scarred and getting long in the tooth, desperate and hungry and got nothing to lose. Yeah, I'm alone.
I've been chased, I've been bit.
Yeah, I'm a lone wolf. They like to shoot at me, but they miss. Yeah, I'm a never been trapped, and God help the people, the things that got me cornered at last. I've been running, I've been tracking, I've been running since I was three. Born in a Louisiana swamp, moved with the pack to Tennessee. Raised by black and white dogs to some country, some rock and roll. They said, now boy, you don't have to quit your howling soul. Staying up all night and chasing lassies by the moon.
Insurgent Radio Network calling. Insurgent Radio Network calling. This is Insurgent Radio Network, and this is Tom Metzger, Terrible Tommy, right here on Thursday in the bunker, right here in north central Indiana, where it is snowing pretty hard. Started out early this morning, and it's coming down pretty good again. I don't know what's going to happen. Nothing, not as bad as up there in North Dakota. I've been checking on the weather and stuff up there, and they were predicting today was to be about 12 above zero with up to 60 mile an hour winds and blizzard. You really want to move to Leith? Craig is very fortunate. He's in a nice warm cell, even if he does have to eat TV dinners. I sort of like TV dinners. Sorry. Yeah, I like things like that, you know, pork and beans and hot dogs and stuff like that. Not all the time, you know. It's the 16th of January, 2014 on Thursday. I like to say it makes me feel good, makes my teeth feel good. Thursday, yeah, okay. Well, I sent out this morning and yesterday the latest events up there in Leith, North Dakota, and says the defense of two white supremacists charged with using long-barreled guns to terrorize residents in a small town That's not a town. There's 20 people there. They planned to take over, said the guns were legal and the men neither acted violently nor made verbal abuses or threats. No, there was just some cussing back and forth, and that was it. In a Grant County courtroom full of spectators, media, and residents of Leith, attorneys for Craig Cobb, 62, only one attorney for Craig Cobb, and Keenan Dutton, 29, asked the South Central District Judge Roy Bean Jorgensen to dismiss the charges for lack of evidence or reduce them to disorderly conduct. Jorgensen instead ordered a trial, which is expected to last 2 to 3 days, and said he would entertain motions next week to reduce the bond, now at $1 million cash for Cobb and $50,000 cash for Dutton. Well, even if I had the money, I'd say, screw you, feed me, baby. Bring me some books. I'll just relax. No date for the trial has been set. And I can imagine a guy that's got a $1 million bond asked of him having a two-day trial. I mean that in itself is crazy, man. It's crazy. I think the weather up there has frozen those people's brains, especially the DA, Mr. Schwartz. And he's trying to milk this thing. He can run for some higher office. You wait and see. I'll bet you. DAs always do that. Well, I think what they're expecting to do is talk him into plea bargain. Yeah, plea bargain it down to, you know, something. I wouldn't plea bargain at all. Fuck him. And I've never plea bargained. I never will. I know there's some times when it'd probably be the best thing to do, but like I told you before, in a case there in L.A., I didn't go for plea bargain. I said raise the charge to a felony instead of a misdemeanor. That's just the opposite. And I still won. So anyhow, neither man spoke in court except to plead not guilty to all 7 felony terrorizing charges against Leith residents. Can you believe that? 7. I got the videotape there. They're walking down the street. They got guns on their hips and like that, or pointed up in the air, and somehow they got 7. Well, see, how this is exactly how they work, these DAs. They throw 7 at them, and then they'll come out and plea bargain them down to 1. And so they'll want to give them a year in jail, you know, or a year in prison. Now, this is the way they always play. They always play. And the only way you can play with these people is play hardball. Make them prove it. Make them spend the money. I would say no plea bargain. We're going to have separate trials, and we're going to have juries on each one, and we'll string this thing out just as long as you want to, because we know you people up here, you taxpayers in North Dakota, got plenty of money, man. Informed the whoever the city father is at Leith yesterday by email that I could make this all go away if they want to negotiate. If they don't want to negotiate, well, they're just going to go on and on and on, because the properties are still there. People will probably come in and out of town from here on out. Maybe somebody will even build a monument up there or something dedicated to the struggle at Wounded Knee. No, not Wounded Knee. We'll call this, what will we call this? Wounded Ass or something. Apologize, I made a mistake. I said there were 20 people lived there, and there's 24 if you count the Negro. if you count my chauffeur, my driver, future driver for me when I go up there. But one problem we had is, and as far as I'm concerned, it's a problem. To a right-wing yahoos, it's no problem at all. Jeff Shope came to town. Yeah, that's all they need. The defense needs Jeff Shope in town. He didn't wear his Nazi uniform, and he didn't have a flag or anything, but the press, of course, make a big deal out of it, and of course, that's why he's there. But if he wanted to help out Craig Cobb and Dutton, he should have stayed away. He could have sent him money. That would help him out. The Hollywood Nazis, whenever they know there's some place where they're going to get their picture on the TV news, believe me, they're always going to be there. Well, you know, I heard my name in vain again the other day, and not a real mean thing, but and I usually don't go around listening to other people, but anyhow, someone was saying that this Craig Cobb deal was a great, fantastic deal. Boy, press around the world it went, you know. Well, yeah, you could disembowel yourself or set yourself on fire and they take a picture to go around the world. I want to let you know, I support these two guys just because I want to get them out of there, and I know Craig could be very important to the struggle because he is a very intelligent man if we get him get his freight car back on the tracks here and get him out of this right-wing nonsense. So anyhow, the fellow was speaking about how great this was, and well, just getting press is not wonderful. I don't support the way Craig went about it at all. And I told him that early on, before he got arrested or anything else. So I'm not helping him because I agree with what he did up there, his tactics, because he didn't listen to my advice at all. I'm supporting him because he's a brother and he's down. And that's the reason there. But this other person said, oh, well, his publicity around the world was even bigger than Tom Metzger's publicity. Well, wait a minute. Now, I'm not here to blow my own horn. You know that. I don't do that. Well, not very much anyhow. But let's go back to you neophytes and see how I got worldwide press. Now, when I announced to put a crew of the KKK on the border at San Ysidro, California, south of San Diego, I got worldwide press. But that was, to me, that was positive press. Somebody was going to do something about illegal aliens. Somebody at least was trying to draw the attention to the problem of illegal aliens, and they were willing to go and put together patrol cars and so forth and radios and do it. Now, that's the kind of publicity I think should go around the world. Now, they can, obviously, they always try to twist it around, but that's something the average person could get their teeth into and say, now, wait a minute. What's wrong with that, you know? And then I did several other appearances on the border with people, not a bunch of uniforms and stuff. After me came some of the right-wing people out there, including the ex-mayor of San Diego. They got into the act doing the same thing I did, but never gave me credit. But that was worldwide, at least a couple of times. Well, then I run for Congress and won the Democratic nomination. Now, to me, that's a positive thing to do. I went by the rules, and I was elected. You know, I was chosen to be the representative of the Democrat Party in the largest congressional district in the United States. That went around the world for a long time, much longer than this Leith affair. And to me, that's positive because people would look at that. It gave our people a big shot in the arm, and it was not negative either in the long run to thousands of people that voted for me. You know, almost 55,000 people voted for me in that thing. So 55,000 people, now 55,000 people vote for you. There was probably 200,000 or 500,000 people out there that don't vote that agree with you. And that went around and around the world. And then my fight with the Democrat Party, where they unconstitutionally threw me out of the State Central Committee, Nancy Pelosi, and all that stuff. That's publicity that works. It gives perhaps millions of white people a sort of a shot in the arm, I think, because I've been hearing about it. They still play those videotapes on YouTube and stuff of a lot of that stuff. And so then I ran for U.S. Senate. I didn't get near as much. I didn't get worldwide notice on that, but I at least got strong press in California. I received about 80,000 votes in that deal, and I was running against nine other guys, including Gore Vidal and Jerry Moonbeam Brown. So I thought that was good press for a racial separatist. And then, of course, I got worldwide press on my television show, Race and Reason, that we started producing way back in 83. And several times it went all over the United States, and sometimes it went all over the world. Now, that's positive. We are putting on a pro-white show. Now, what I'm getting at is it takes more than just getting media attention. You go downtown on a village square and take your pants down, take your underwear down, and stick your white ass out and wiggle it, and you're going to get a lot of press. But is that really the press you want? I don't think so. Now, it's impossible for us to get truly the best press. They're not going to let us do that. But if we're going to do something, let's try to maneuver it to where we get some good press, even when we broke Geraldo's nose. That was good press because so many people hated Geraldo. That went worldwide, still going worldwide. It wasn't intended that way, but that's the way it ended up. Somebody sent me an article that Niger, the son of, what the hell was his name? Ennis, Roy Ennis. A Republican activist who's milked the Republican Party something fierce because they're so desperate to get a black into the Republican Party. Well, Niger now, who was the same age as my son, he wasn't at the Geraldo TV show when we broke his dad's nose or when Wyatt Collenberg broke his nose. But anyhow, he went around with his dad just like John went around with me. Well, anyhow, he's going to run for, I think, Congress, or probably Congress out in Las Vegas. He just announced. Well, I don't think they're going to put him in. Now, I know how screwed up white people are, and I don't expect them to do anything right, but I have a hard time thinking that they'll vote this Niger guy in as a congressman. And so we'll see what happens. Of course, Roy Ennis was in SNCC or one of those black groups early on, which gave him some claim to fame. But you don't hear hardly anything about him anymore. So I don't think his son's going to do that well in Las Vegas if our people out there get the word out that he's sort of a rat. Maybe not a rat, but he's black. He ain't white. Well, back to this other thing about getting press. Now, I'm no friend of David Duke's, but he is a movement person. He's a struggle person. He's involved in something, okay? He's over to the conservative right, I know, and all that kind of stuff. I don't talk about him much, but the point is he did run for office. I know the first time I was there managing his campaign back in 76 when he ran for state office in Louisiana out of Baton Rouge. And then he ran again, and then he became a state senator, wasn't it, or a state representative? Well, that was good press. I mean, even no matter how I feel about him personally, that was positive press. So we got to differentiate between doing something crazy and getting press and doing something that helps you with a lot of people. neutralize a lot of people would be your enemy. And I think that some of this stuff that I and others, that even Ed Harold Covington ran for Attorney General down there in North Carolina, and I think he got 40, 50,000 votes, and then we had another guy up in Michigan, and his name escapes me, and I don't know whatever happened to him. He ran for Congress same time I did and got a hell of a lot of votes. The only problem I see, these guys always run on the Republican Party ticket. That's hard because in most of the cases, places where they run, the Republican Party's got all the money, and it's very difficult to win a primary that way. I entered and ran as a Democrat because it didn't take hardly any money to run, and nobody wanted the job of representing the Democrat Party. So I said, okay, I'll take it. So when they get 25 guys marching down the street in Hollywood Nazi uniforms and swastika flags, just remember, you're going to get press, and that press will go around the world, but that's the press they're using to install the old stereotype of World War II and all that stuff. And I say that's just not the way to go. Another thing I didn't like about this trial yesterday, or this preliminary, was they had both the defendants in jail clothes. Now they should have got them into a suit or something. And I recommended that Craig cut his hair too. I mean, you know, sometimes it's best to retreat just a little bit if you can win the battle, you know. So anyhow, that was not good. And their attorneys should have insisted that they get regular street clothes to wear in the court, because it always works against you, especially with a jury. Now, when they come to trial, and I know what's going to happen, they're going to talk their asses off to try to talk these guys into a plea bargain. And I'm encouraging them not to, and I'm attempting to contact and talk to the attorneys about it, because the attorneys will want a plea bargain too. See, I know attorneys all over the country, and they don't want to litigate. No lawyer, or almost no lawyer, enjoys litigation. In fact, most attorneys never litigate. They plea bargain and get it out of the way before they go to trial, because they're afraid to litigate. They don't know how to litigate. I did more litigating in Portland, Oregon than most of these attorneys do in a long time. So they're going to try, these attorneys are going to try to talk these two into plea bargaining. And well, if they plea bargain them to time served and maybe 6 months in jail, maybe, you know. But the trouble is, then that's on your record. And once that felony is on Craig's record, it's going to be hard for him to travel and do a lot of things he's done so far. So there's a lot more at stake here than just this local trial situation. Okay? Just remember that. Once they get a file on you, a conviction of a felony, it affects your life quite a bit. Now, in my case, it was a civil situation and was not a criminal or a felony. It was a misdemeanor, so that doesn't hurt my record at all. In fact, I could write to the court in L.A. and get it taken off now, but I don't know whether I even care. You know, in the morning, a lot of times, having a cup of coffee and maybe some cereal or whatever, I sit there at the table, I turn on the TV, and the History Channel was on this morning, and they had the story of Robin Hood. Now, there's a hell of a lot of good information in this documentary about Robin Hood, and I think you should get it, download it, or whatever, because there's all kinds of allegories and things that we should think about being the outlaws that we are, ideological outlaws. And we have a lot of similarities to the problems that Robin Hood was going through there. Now, one thing that a lot of people don't talk about is the reason for England being so destabilized at the time was because of the Crusades. Just like our, you know, it's almost like us attacking Iraq. It was so crazy for these Christian fanatics to go down there to the Holy Land, and they're going to rescue the burial place of the baby Jesus, the non-existent Jesus. Now, see, interesting, the King of England, of course, he promoted it big time. In fact, he broke his treasury spending money going down to the Holy Land. You know, one thing funny involved there was that the Germans at one time in his travels grabbed him and held him for ransom. The Germans weren't crazy enough to go marching down to the Holy Land. But anyhow, all of this confusion stirred up Islam, and Islam then attempted to invade all over Europe, or Eastern Europe. I was in a church that had been burnt to the ground on the North Sea in Holland, that had been burnt to the ground by the Islamics. So, and I don't believe that would have happened if the Christian fanatics had not gone crazy and go marching into the Holy Land. But anyhow, out of this thing, just like Iraq and Vietnam, came back a whole lot of disenchanted white people. And in England, it caused all kinds of confusion, and all kinds of people turned to crime and outlawry and a whole bit. Well, some of that outlawry was, well, it was against authority, because under those conditions, the king became even more despotic than he would normally. And so the more despotic the central government becomes, the more radicals rise to the occasion. So here's Robert Hood, I guess was his real name, out there in Sherwood Forest, where he could hide out. You know, that's where hundreds, maybe thousands of disenchanted outlaw types hid out and fought the system. Because, I mean, these people were like on here on the street, like coming back from Afghanistan and Iraq and Iran, poor, into alcoholism, everything, on the street. Well, these guys were in the forest hiding out. And they took what they could get, especially from the king. And that's what's going to happen here. It didn't happen as much as I thought in Vietnam. But I think it's going to happen this time pretty bad. That these people are so disenchanted that served over there in Iraq and Afghanistan, and lately they're all upset because the Al-Qaeda retook Fallujah. Well, of course they retook Fallujah. Guerrilla outfits, I don't care whether the U.S. Army's there or not, sooner or later they're going to take it back over. The guerrilla has time. The U.S. Army, U.S. Marine Corps doesn't have that time, because it costs them a fortune to carry on a war like that, an occupation, everything. So, a lot of these GIs are split down the middle on that. Well, we should have never left, and we should have stayed there. Well, that's what the Russians thought, too, in Afghanistan. They got their asses kicked the same way as Alexander the Great did, the whole bit. So it's all, but anyhow, they got the shit shot out of them. 100 guys died, Marines died at Fallujah. But there were war crimes committed at Fallujah. Is that the name? I think I got the name right. Anyhow, because they were using horrible weapons there. And hundreds of thousands of people, babies and children, died in Fallujah. And they don't talk about that much here on Fox TV. No, it's only the GIs that died. GIs that should have never been there in the first place. And also they used the phosphorus, which is a horrible weapon, and this nuclear surplus material that's in all this these projectiles and even, I guess, in small arms ammunition. So we've even though we're out of there, the whole land around there is contaminated with this nuclear crap, and it will be for hundreds of years. But anyhow, back to what I was saying. Now they're all coming. They're coming back here, and now they're pissed off. A lot of them pissed off after they first come back here, but now they get the word that they died for nothing. All their buddies died for nothing. Of course, we knew they would die for nothing when I opposed the whole damn thing in the first place. And George Bush Jr. should be in a goddamn federal prison for life or executed. He should have been brought before the world court. He is a war criminal. And Dick Cheney, he's even worse because he's the one who really were the brains behind it. And he just manipulated George Bush Jr. to do his bidding. I mean, these guys are really bad. You know, they talk about, here's poor old Craig Cobb up there. They want to put him in jail for years for walking down the street with a gun, you know. And these guys kill people by the hundreds of thousands. They kill them all over the place. Kill the leaders. Kill everybody. They want to kill Assad, you know. But now they don't know for sure, you see. We're ruled by psychopaths, flat-out psychopaths, and war criminals of the worst kind. Worse than anybody that's in any federal prison, including the blacks. Including the blacks. There's no crime, no criminal in the federal prisons in this country today that comes anywhere near the crimes of George Bush Jr. or Cheney. Or Clinton, Ronald Reagan, all of them. Nixon, yeah, all of them. So, anyhow, get that, watch that if it ever comes around on your TV about Robert Hood. And you'll see the corollaries there that when you go to war, you see, in other words, you know, I keep telling you the reason you got Islamics crawling all over your ass in England and all over Europe is because our leaders went down there and our corporate capitalist bastards went down there and fucked around over the oil and they stuck a stick in a hornet's nest and the Islamics fight back and then the regular people get scared shitless and got no food and they run to Europe. Now they run into the United States. They never would have done that if we hadn't been over there having these goddamn occupations. I mean, that's like I said yesterday about this British leader over there crying about how England and Europe are falling behind in competition in the world market. So the answer is, oh, hell, we can't send any Islamics home. We can't send anybody home. Bring more in so we can get lower wages, and then maybe we can compete. It's enough to gag a fucking maggot. You know, another reason the right wing just pisses me off like you wouldn't believe. They want to blame everything on Obama just because he's black. Well, okay, you don't like Obama. It's like you don't like Martin Luther King. And a guy sent me a bunch of stuff about Martin Luther King videos and stuff yesterday, and I'm supposed to spread it around. I said, I ain't spreading that shit around. Everybody knows about Martin Luther King. You either hate him or you love him and forget it. Let's get on to something's happening right now, something new. And as far as Obama, he's on his way out. He's doing bad things, but he's some of the things he's done has been pretty good, too. And the Republican warmongering bastards, I mean, they keep wanting to push us into this Iran thing. And Iran should be our ally, not our enemy. I mean, as far as I'm concerned. So, anyhow. But the right wing, they got a one-tune song. Obama, Obama, Obama. If Obama wasn't there, everything would be wonderful. Well, bullshit. Wake up and smell the coffee. Oh, let's see here. Well, yeah, with that Robin Hood thing, you know, I was thinking of Bob Matthews. You know, one of the things that really triggered him into action was the fact that they were going out and seizing the farms. The big farm seizures during that period of time in the 80s. A lot of you young guys don't know about it. But they were foreclosing on thousands of farms, and this caused a lot of radical activity, some shootouts, suicides, and everything else. So this is similar to the Robin Hood fighting and taking from the rich and giving to the poor type attitude. And I think that's what motivated Bob Matthews, was this horrible stealing all the property in the farms by the banks. Now, they do that every once in a while. You know, back in the Dust Bowl days, 200,000 homes and ranches were taken back by the banks. Now, what are the banks going to do with them? They couldn't sell them. But they take them back anyhow just to show that they could. Well, do you think that might have promoted people like John Dillinger and Babyface Nelson and back in the older days, the James brothers? You know, most outlaws, what they do is based on what's been done to them or their people. That's why we need the cooperation of the system if you're ever going to have a genuine revolution in this country. You can't march out and hit them head on. You just can't do it. There are many ways to resist the government, resist the system. I don't call this a government. If it was a government, I'd probably have some respect for it. But it's not it's a cabal of criminals. All criminals. Right wing, left wing, middle, they're all criminals. Some are more criminal than others. And then I noticed that, you know, here's this little guy named Bernie Sanders up there in, Vermont, the senator. He does damn good economically, screaming for the poor people and working people. And you know what? I think he's a Jew. Oh, my God. Metzger's a Jew lover. Yeah, right. Okay. You know, another similarity between Bob Matthews and Robin Hood and his men, they called those guys, those outlaws, they called them outlaws, of course. And that's because they rejected the law of the king anyhow. They called them wolf heads. That's interesting. Because out in the forest, there was just men hiding out and wolves. So they sort of had a common situation there. So they called these men that hit out in the wolves, like some of our people move out in the mountains and so forth, wolf heads. That's interesting.
And the war got good ratings too, didn't it? Got good ratings. Well, we like war. We like war. We're a warlike people. We like war because we're good at it. You know why we're good at it? Because we get a lot of practice. This country's only 200 years old and already we've had 10 major wars. We average a major war every 20 years in this country, so we're good at it. And it's a good thing we are. We're not very good at anything else anymore. Huh? Can't build a decent car, can't make a TV set or a VCR worth a fuck. Got no steel industry left, can't educate our young people, can't get health care to our old people, but we can bomb the shit out of your country, all right. Especially if your country is...
You know, I think somebody's coming. I don't have any regular guests, but I think some radical's coming up the road. Let's see what he's... Get him in here and see what he's got to say. You never know. Well, here he comes, but it sounded like he was walking backwards. I don't know. How you doing there, pal?
And according to Hank Williams Jr., old habits are hard to break. And then you'd have to get into new habits. Maybe if we could have a consortium of sorts and figure out what some of the old habits are that may need to be broken in favor of new habits,
then there could be a possibility that there might be different outcomes, right? I've been thinking about that lately and about the necessity or the building necessity of doing so. So I just wanted to share something with you real quick. And I'm only going to read this particular email in the hopes that it is inspirational. Not confrontational, not looking to pick a fight, not looking to pick a argument, not looking to second guess or to micromanage the affairs of anyone else in media or that runs in our circles here, and do anything other than just share this with you, because you may not have heard it. I didn't hear it, and that's mostly because I don't listen to other radio shows. And that's not an indication of the other hosts. But someday when I write the book, I'll explain why. But in any event, a listener writes me to alert me that he was listening to Andrew Wilkow yesterday, and that Wilkow brought up the idea, or an idea, that maybe if 20 or so states just banded together and picked and chose, or chose to pick which federal edicts they would adhere to, that because there would be strength in numbers, maybe those 20 states could become a smaller, peaceful union inside the United States. And the letter writer says this is something way short of an Article 5 and secession. I've listened to both of your shows faithfully for years and can see that this is quite a jump in thinking for Mr. Wilkow. He wanted to float this idea amongst his peers on the Patriot Channel. I would love to know your opinion. Thanks, Rob. Rob, thank you very much. I did not know that. And as I responded to Rob and told him, Rob, I've brought this up for 5 years now. Now I don't seek to go, oh, you're trying to take credit. No, I'm not trying. There is no credit. Here, let me give all the credit to Jefferson. Jefferson said that every generation ought to consider its own constitution. Let's give the idea credit to Jefferson. I would actually credit Professor Donald Livingston igniting this fire in me with his great book that too many of you still have not read. We have autographed copies of, called Rethinking the American Union for the 21st Century. Just based on what the letter writer wrote to me, and based on what Professor Livingston has said about this, and what I have thought about it, and I have muddled this over in my noggin for years. There are some, myself included, that believe that is really the only way out of the political maelstrom that we're currently in, which is to wipe the slate clean, form new unions, start over again. Now, the danger that comes along with that is, let's just say 20 states were going together and saying, all right, that's it. Obamacare, NSA, IRS, Benghazi, wars all around the known universe, trillions of dollars in debt and deficit, unfunded liabilities out the wazoo. There's no way we want to be a part of this. Here's even more important. We do not wish for our posterity to have to suffer under this, so we're out. We're done. We're going to pick the federal edicts or the federal laws that we think ought to still be enforced. We're going to readopt or re-ratify the Constitution, sans a couple of amendments, 14, and the ones that have the two that have been repealed, and we're going to go about our merry business. Now, the danger of that is, ought to be obvious to many of you, that is that you leave the nucleus of Mordor on the Potomac intact. And if there are things that they think that you have and that they want, or there are things that are happening inside of our new territory or our new federation that they wish to know about, well, then we'll be dealing with the NSA and the CIA and every other hell-forsaken entity that has been created by that monstrosity as an enemy. We'll be the enemy, like Patrick Henry said. Are fleets and armies necessary for a work of love and reconciliation? Where is the enemy in this quarter of the globe?
that requires this massive accumulation of armies and supplies. I have news for you, gentlemen. We are that enemy. We would become the enemy. Simply because you desire to do what? This is what just pisses me off to the end of the earth and angers me even more when I think of how many hundreds of millions of fellow citizens don't care about it. Here's what angers me. All the good people that would undergo this action would be seeking would be peace. Peace, liberty, and community. That's what they would be seeking. That's what we would be seeking. We no longer want to be a part of a federation that makes war on the entire known universe, even in outer space. We no longer want to be a part of this shell game that you clowns are playing with trillions of dollars at stake, where bankruptcy and involuntary servitude are all but guaranteed for the future and for future generations. So all you're doing is seeking what your forefathers sought, which is life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, but more important, legally speaking, independence. And the ability to be ruled by your own little R Republican tyrants. What was that line in the movie The Patriot? Why should I trade one tyrant 2,000 miles away for 2,000 tyrants 10 miles away? When Mel Gibson was confronted with South Carolina seceding from Great Britain and joining the American Revolution or the independence movement. So for the gentleman that sent me the letter, and for those of you that may have considered the same thing, I think that that is a very healthy enterprise, because it gets your brain cells thinking about other solutions to problems outside of the 3x5 index card that we are told the menu that we are given, that we are told that we may only choose from those options. Here's your, you only have these options here. Well, why? There had to be other options. Aren't there? And so rethinking the American Union is something I think that productive people would engage in. Now, even if just the thinking of it sparks concern among those that, wait a minute, why do you want to leave the party? No, we haven't even brought the punch bowl out yet. And you guys want to leave the party? Man, we got a cake coming out here. There's a chick that's going to pop out of it. You're going to love it. Why do you want to leave the party? So even if it never happens, but it causes those tyrants and those that are so corrupt to pause for a moment and acknowledge that it is their actions that are bringing this about, maybe they should take a different or pursue a different course, then it's a worthy endeavor. There's no harm that can... Here, let me just get to the bottom line. There's no harm that can come from this exercise. None. There is a lot of harm that comes from not talking about it, and you're witnessing it right now. So thanks for the note. I know I just...
You know, many times, small actions can precipitate much, much bigger actions. I mean, it's happened down through history. Look at that bombing of the Maine in Havana Harbor. Started a whole war. Anyhow, at the Boston Tea Party, that was never set up to be get a reaction like they got from Britain. It was just a symbolic thing. Wasn't even as strong as Occupy New York or Occupy Chicago or Atlanta. It was just show and tell. When they put on the Indian clothes and threw the tea in the harbor, they were just showing their being pissed off at the tax. And Britain came down on them like a load of bricks. So you never know what little thing you do during the day or little get-together you might have or whatever you do might trigger the whole thing to start unraveling. That's why you have to do something every day. Influence somebody, talk to people, put out a piece of literature, call in a radio show, all those kinds of things. It all runs into the same river. And there's more and more people, both on left and right, talking about this in almost the same way, which is sort of amusing in a way. Something that I've been talking about for years, decades. So anyhow, you never realize in your own lifetime a lot of times what's right around the corner. You think, oh, it's just going to go on and on and on and on like this. But nothing ever goes on and on and on and on like this. So every time somebody gets screwed, like with the farmers seizing their property and all that kind of stuff, and up jumped Bob Matthews and his merry band. You're going to see lots more of that. Lots more of that. And then you got all these angry veterans coming back. They're pissed off. So I'm very positive. But I don't sit around dwelling and just cussing on Obama. That's a waste of time. That's what they expect you to do. You know, like when the press called me in L.A. and when the blacks were rioting after the Rodney King decision, they said, well, what do you think, Mr. Metzger? And I said, well, if they need some more gasoline, I'll give it to them. As long as they're burning down City Hall and the big banks and where all the ruling class live. But don't touch the white working class neighborhoods. And, you know, they didn't print that. See, the press call you when they want you to say something they want you to say. When you say something that they don't want you to say, they don't print it. Like when I say to the press in North Dakota, well, you can concentrate on these two guys, or you can concentrate on your environment that's going falling through the cracks. All this oil pollution, all these toxic and this tar sand stuff coming down from Canada, polluting Canada all over the place. In fact, they're destroying all the scientific records that have to do with pollution in Canada. I think I sent that along to you, but if I didn't, I'll send it to you again, which is talk about being suspicious. It's not only suspicious, it is a criminal act that they're taking all these scientific libraries all over Canada that has to do with pollution and anything with the environment, and they're destroying them, physically destroying them. Now, you think that's pretty bizarre, don't you? But it's happening. It's happening. So, anyhow, that's the way I see it. Q to the Hatchet Man sent his donation in and an extra 24 POWs. So I'll put that in a postal money order and or depending and or cash and send it off. So they really appreciate your contributions, these inmates. And we are very selective about who we give it to. Well, that's about it for now, boys and girls. I'll be back with you tomorrow on Freya's Day. Freya's Day. I'm going to hook up another MP3 recorder here that I can edit a little more simply, because unfortunately, the way this one is, when I make a mistake, I can't correct it. We're going to work on that because I get these glitches all the time. All right, 14-5 and shut up. And remember, the struggle is not over as long as one person is still fighting for it. And as Napoleon said, if your enemy is about to make and is making big mistakes, don't be impolite and interrupt him. Don't be a reactionary. Say, come on, keep it up. You're playing our game. Most people will never realize how much the Al-Qaeda has been boosted and grown because of the presence of the U.S. military. I mean, there would have never been anything without the U.S. military being in Afghanistan and Iraq. Think about it.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds if we're together? Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather. Happy trails.
Called Motorcycle Cowboy. See if y'all like it.
Got me a long, tall blonde. All right, Don.